Last Sunday, just after I arrived here at church, I noticed, to my dismay, a fairly large stain on my shirt sleeve. Not sure where it came from. It was kind of an orange, rust-colored stain. I'm sure it wasn't there when I got dressed in the morning. I must have rubbed up against something, so I went into the restroom, and I didn't want, of course, have a wet sleeve all morning, so I couldn't just wash it off under the water, so I tried to brush it off, and then it got down onto my hand, and I'm not sure exactly what it was. Fortunately, my jacket covered most of it, but it still bothered me because I knew it was there. I'm generally a pretty clean person. I try to shower most days. I wash my hands, you know, every once in a while. Try to wear clean clothes, at least the best I can. But alas, sometimes I get dirty. That's why at our home, we have a washing machine. We also have a dishwasher and a vacuum cleaner. And we use at various times during our day soap and detergent and shampoo and toothpaste, all in an effort to keep ourselves clean and keep our home clean. And I don't know for sure, but I like to think that you do the same thing, at least some of the time. If only there was a washing machine for our hearts. If only there was a way to clean the dirt and grime off of our minds, a way to polish up our souls. If only there was a way to get our insides as clean as we try to keep our outsides. This morning we're going to talk about a biblical word that we don't use very often. Maybe in generations past this word was more prevalent, but maybe we need to bring it back a little bit. It's a long word, it's pretty hard to spell, but it's got a very simple meaning. The word is sanctification. Sanctification. And basically it means to be made holy, to be made spiritually clean. Now the good news is that there is a spiritual washing machine, and we call that spiritual washing machine the Holy Spirit. The Spirit specializes in sanctification, in making us clean, in washing us spiritually so that we can become holy, so we can become more like God. So listen to this beautiful passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It's an encouraging passage, I hope, as you hear it, but it's also challenging. 2 Thessalonians, I may have said Corinthians a minute ago. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I imagine that some of you have had the experience. I shared about a stain I had on my sleeve after I got here to church, but you've maybe had the experience that's even worse than that when you get home at the end of the day and then you notice a stain on the front of your shirt and you realize, oh, that's been there since breakfast this morning, and I just now realize that it's there. I think a lot of people go through their lives, to some degree we all go through our lives, unaware of the stain that sin leaves on our lives. Unaware that when we mistreat other people or say things we shouldn't say or even think things that we shouldn't think or hurt the people around us, that it leaves a mark on us. It changes us in some ways that maybe we shouldn't be very proud of. Now, other people can't actually see the spiritual condition of our hearts, but they can see the consequence of the poor choices that you make. They can, of course, feel the effects of my selfishness or my foolishness. People are affected by that. And so, in a sense, they are aware of those stains that sin leaves in our lives. And I do believe that if we're willing to be honest as we look at ourselves in the mirror, if we're willing to really look deeply, not just at the reflection there, but look deeply at who we are, that we will become aware of all the grimy spots that are hidden inside of us. Every time we sin, every time we hurt someone else, every time we speak those nasty words that maybe we wish we could take back after they leave our mouths, all those bad things, they pollute our hearts. And the hard truth is that God does not like the mess that's in your life. And He doesn't like the mess that's in my life. To God, my sin is not just a little bit of dust in the corner of my heart that can just be kind of swept away or ignored or left for another day. My sin is offensive to God. He can't stand it, and he won't look at it. And He doesn't just ignore it. Our God is perfectly holy. He is glorious beyond anything that we could imagine or understand. And no one who is unclean, no one who is impure, no one who is stained with sin can be near to God or stand in His presence. The good news is that God loves you too much to let you stay unclean. God loves you too much to just cast you away. Oh, you're impure, and He throws you from His presence. No, God doesn't treat us that way. He loves you too much to leave you in your sin. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to make us holy so that we can then be with Him forever. And one of the Holy Spirit's most important roles in our lives is to wash us clean. Is this word sanctification, this process of making us holy before God? The Spirit's work to make us clean begins when Jesus finds us covered in all of our the mud, the muck of our sin, and Jesus forgives us and He gives us the promise of a new life, and then the Spirit begins this work of sanctification, of making us new. The Spirit takes sinners and moves us toward holiness. And that is this process that we call sanctification. It begins when we say yes to Jesus. It begins when we first come to God through faith. And it continues all through this life. It's a process that won't reach its completion until we finally stand before God in heaven and all of the effects of this life and all of our sin fully taken away through Jesus on the cross. And never again will we turn back to that sin. Then we will be the people that God created us in the first place to be, perfect and pure and holy in God's sight. But in this life, we're in a process. This process of being cleaned up, of being set right. And so in verse 13, Paul, as he's writing this to his friends in Thessalonica, he tells us that we are saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. Now, we like the second part of that. That's generally what we talk about, how we have to believe in Jesus, how we have to place our faith in Him, that we're saved as we say yes to Jesus and pray to receive Him in our hearts. And those things are vitally important to our faith, but we don't want to ignore the other part of that sentence. You see, salvation is first and foremost the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is a gift given us by God in His love and by His grace. Jesus finds us while we're sinners, lost in our sin, separated from God because He's holy and we are not. And Jesus sends His Spirit into our lives when we accept Him and begins this lifelong process of making us over again, making us right, making us clean. And if you let the Holy Spirit work in your heart, if you let the Spirit work, then throughout your life you will see improvement. You will see yourself getting better, your life being cleaned up. You will find less and less stains and more holiness in your heart and in your soul. The Spirit will help you to resist temptation. The Spirit will help you to read and understand and actually live according to God's holy word. The Spirit will help you to know which way to go through life and which way to avoid in life. The Spirit will help you to pray that God's will be done instead of your will being done. And one of the ways that we know that we're growing in our faith is that our will begins to look more and more and more like God's will. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The Spirit cleans us up and moves us more and more toward holiness. Not all at once, but through a lifetime. And so Paul challenges us, he challenges his readers in verse 15 to stand firm in the truth and to hold fast to the gospel. He reminds us in that verse of Jesus' parable. You remember Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount, as he's sort of summarizing all that he's been talking about, that we need to put God first in our lives, that we need to live as peacemakers, that we need to honor God instead of just following the rules that man may set before us. And Jesus summarizes all that he said in that message by telling a little parable about two people who built their homes. And one person built their home on the sand, and the other person built their home on the solid rock foundation. And then a storm hits the two homes, and the one built on sand is destroyed, whereas the home built on the rock stands strong. And Jesus said this parable means that it's not enough just to hear God's word. It's not enough just to read God's word, but we have to actually live according to what we read in His Word, that we need to put it into practice. And one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us toward holiness is that the Spirit helps us to hold fast to God's truth. You see, sanctification is not just about washing away the dirty parts of our life. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. But sanctification is even more so about replacing those old ways with new and better ways. It's not just about not sinning, but sanctification is about living for God's good, living for that holiness and goodness that we see in God. And we find those better ways of living in God's Word. And so God's Word calls us to love one another instead of sowing seeds of conflict and strife. God's Word calls us to have compassion on those in need instead of being selfish and seeking after our own desires. God's Word asks us to trust in God instead of worrying. And that's hard to live out. But we need to trust in God. Jesus told us to turn the other cheek instead of seeking revenge. That's hard to do. Jesus also said that we need to serve in humility instead of demanding the place of honor. And how often do we see in our culture those who seek the place of honor are rewarded, whereas those who seek to serve or may defer to others are just brushed aside? But Jesus promised us that God sees us when we choose the path of humility instead of seeking our own good. You see, it's one thing to hear those words, and we hear them and we say, yeah, that's the way we should live, and I wish more people would live that way, but it's another thing to actually live them out ourselves. It's far more difficult to live according to what Scripture tells us to do, and so we all know that is why we need the Spirit's work in our lives, that we can't live a perfect life without God. We can't obey perfectly without God. In this life, we're never going to get it fully right, but as we allow the Spirit to work in our hearts and in our minds and to transform us, we'll see that we begin more and more to live the way that Jesus has asked us to live, according to God's Word, instead of the ways of this world. And so when you read the Bible, pray that the Spirit will help you. Ask the Spirit to be with you as you read so that you'll not only understand God's Word, but that you can apply it to your lives. And ask the Spirit, I may read in the morning, but Spirit, bring those words back to mind as I go through the day so that I can continue to live according to the truth of God's Word. When we face those difficult moments throughout our days, those moments when we're tempted to disregard what God may want us to do. I said a minute ago, one of the best measures of spiritual maturity, of spiritual growth, is when your will, your desires, your motivation, even your interests, the things that you want to do in your life, begin to reflect more and more God's will for your life. As we grow in our faith, we begin to truly want and desire that God's will would be done. And this has to begin with our understanding of God's Word and God's truth. As we grow in faith, as we desire to follow what we read in God's Word, not just because it's an obligation. And maybe this is the greatest mark of spiritual maturity. I'm going to obey not just because God told me I had to, but I'm going to obey because I truly want to live a life that honors God and that shows the world who Jesus is at work in my life. You see, this process of spiritual growth, this sanctification, it can only happen as we listen to the Spirit, as we allow the Spirit to work in our hearts and to help us to become that person that God wants us to be. Now this points us to another aspect of the Spirit's work in our lives, and that is that the Spirit encourages us to become more like Jesus. To become more like Jesus. Paul finishes this passage with a blessing, but it's also a prayer. Verses 16 and 17. Listen to these words again. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. May Jesus and may God the Father encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. This was Paul's prayer for his friends in Thessalonica. It's his prayer for all Jesus followers. It comes to us as well, that Jesus would reshape us in word and deed, in all that we do, that we might be transformed and changed so that we can become what? So that we can become more like Jesus. So that our lives can reflect the one who is doing this work in our lives. That is the everyday work of the Holy Spirit in your life, to make you more like Jesus in how you speak and how you act and how you think, in your motivations and your desires and how you choose to live your life and the little things and the big things, that in all of that you become more and more a reflection of Jesus. You see, the goal of sanctification, this process of being made holy, the goal is not just to be clean and pure and perfect. The goal is to be more like Jesus. And we might think, well, I'll never be like Jesus. And yeah, you won't be in this life. But through the Spirit's work in your life, you can become more like Him. And you can desire those things that Jesus desired. And you can do the work that Jesus started. And you can treat people the way that Jesus treated people, with compassion and mercy and love, and by listening to their needs and meeting those needs and serving instead of demanding for yourself. And all those wonderful, amazing things that we see in Jesus, and we might be tempted to think, oh, well, Jesus was perfect. I could never be perfect like that. Well, begin by inviting the Spirit to do that work in your heart, to transform you into that reflection of Jesus, so that then we can learn to speak the truth like Jesus spoke the truth. We can learn to pray and worship like Jesus. We can learn to put the things of God first, just as Jesus put the things of God first in His life. Let me add one more truth here about sanctification. The Spirit works hard to make us holy, and it is hard work because we're not holy. When the Spirit finds us, we're a mess. And to some degree, we're still a mess, even after following Jesus for many years. So the Spirit does this hard work to wash us up and make us more like Jesus. But we also have to join the Spirit in this work. Far too many Christians act as though following Jesus is just about getting saved. I've got my ticket for heaven punched. I've said my prayer. I know I'm going to heaven one day. I'm just waiting for that mansion in the sky. You see, being a Christian for us is usually pretty easy, or at least we make it pretty easy. We make a few little sacrifices, we pray a little bit, we worship a little bit, and then we go about life just like the rest of the world. And all of us fall into this. And then we wonder why my spiritual life isn't deeper, why my life isn't getting better, why I don't look more like Jesus. What's wrong? It must be God's fault, right? Something's not working right. You see, to be made holy requires hard work. And it is the Holy Spirit's work, but it also requires our participation and our dedication. It takes commitment to stand firm, to hold fast, to allow Jesus to work through word and deed in our lives. We have to join the Holy Spirit in the work of sanctification. And if you don't think that it is work to become like Jesus, then you're not doing it right. And if you're not inviting the Spirit to work in your heart, then you're not praying right. It should be hard work. And we should look at our lives and say, hopefully I'm better than I was a year ago, but I'm still not the way I want to be a year from now. And so we continue that process through our hard work and our dedication. We need to read God's Word. We need to put it into practice. We need to pray and worship and listen to the Spirit's voice and allow that Spirit to come into our hearts. We need to resist temptation. And we all face temptation. We need to resist it. That's not easy. We need to reject the ways of the world so that we can instead follow the ways of God. We need to love Jesus and serve Jesus and speak truth the way that Jesus spoke truth. And none of these things come naturally to us. Even if you've been following God's Word and seeking after Him for many, many years, we still have to work at it. And we still need the Spirit's help in doing this. So let me challenge you to start. And I know you're not starting your spiritual life, but let me challenge you to start with that one part of your life that you know needs improvement. And I don't know what it is in your life, but I believe that the Spirit has already been showing you that area in your life that needs improvement. And I know that because this is what the Holy Spirit does. And so if you've been listening at all, you know that the Spirit has been saying something in the back of your mind, something in your heart. As you read the Word, something keeps jumping out at you, and you know that the Spirit has been tapping you on the shoulder. Maybe it's a temptation that you've been struggling to resist, maybe failing to resist. Maybe it's that you need to start speaking kind words to somebody who gets under your skin, and your words haven't been very kind. Maybe you need to start spending more time in God's Word or in prayer. Maybe there's a friendship that you need to rebuild, a relationship you need to restore. Whatever it is, ask the Spirit to help you in that area. Ask the Spirit to help you to act and speak in more holy ways, in ways that look and sound a lot more like Jesus. And start with that one part in your life and see how the Spirit is able to help. And I believe the Spirit will, as you allow and invite the Spirit to work, you will see a difference. You will see your life improve in those ways. And start with that one area and see how the Spirit works. See how you become a little bit more, one more step, more like Jesus. And then after the Spirit helps you to take that first step, then take the next, and then take the next. And before you know it, you will be seeing this process of sanctification play out in your life, day after day, step after step, as you become more like Jesus. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for this challenge to us, this great gift you've given us of your Spirit at work in our lives, but also, Lord, this challenge that we can't just stay as we are, that we have to invite you to work. We have to join you in that work of becoming better people, more holy people. So, Father, I pray that you would help me. I pray that you would help each one who's here today. Help all of us to listen to your Spirit, to go where you lead us, to do those things that you want us to do, to avoid those things that you say are not right. And I pray that we would begin to see your Holy Spirit making us more holy and making us more like Jesus. We ask this in his name.